know, there's a lot of talent here at Eastside, and you see that. You see it now, not just in the pulpit, you see it at the table. You see it in the thoughtfulness of prayers that men, both young and old, offer up, and we share with them as God's people. And truly, we're thankful for the ability that is here at Eastside. We're glad Bill's here this morning. Sorry he's not quite. James is giving me a signal here. It says it's on. On now. There we go. Sorry Bill's not able to speak this morning. We're glad he's got strength to be here. Didn't have that little extra it takes to get up and speak this morning. But glad he's able to be here. This morning I went out and picked up a newspaper, as many of you did. And sometimes I'll flip back to the want ad section, looking generally just for what kind of old trucks might be for sale. But if you were to look at the paper this morning and you look up the want ad section and you went to the column and it said, wanted servants. Here you are as a person, young, old, middle aged, and you're looking for a job. If you were to open up the paper this morning and see under jobs available, saw servants, how many of us would have got excited? How many of us would have said, you know, that's exactly the job that I've been looking for? I've been searching my whole life, my whole career, to find a job that I thought would really suit me well, and one that I could really get excited about, and this is exactly what I've been wanting to do with my life. I've been wanting to be a servant. I suspect most of us, more often than not, have gone to the newspaper, may have looked for a job. Many of us have done that. But we're more impressed when we come to one ad and said, wanted, vice president. Wanted, director. Wanted, senior operations manager. It always adds a little bit of excitement when you look at the jobs. They put that word senior, you know, in front of that job title. And I suspect that those of us who have had some year of experience in the working field, we've experienced that. But I would this morning that we think about that as God's people, we truly need to be servants. And what is truly needed in the kingdom of God are servants. What is needed in this community are servants. What is needed in our homes are servants. What are needed in our marriages are servants. Unfortunately for us, we live in a society where the concept and the very thought of being a servant is a negative thing. Most of us, when we think about being a servant, we would relate that to menial tasks. We would relate that to tasks that would better be suited for somebody else, but certainly not for me. I don't know about all of you, I've worked some jobs in my lifetime that had menial tasks. When I was a very young man, I was in Orly in a hospital. And there was a man one evening came in from a nursing home who had had no care. He had laid in his bed, nobody had cleaned him, nobody had done anything for him. And it took about an hour and a half. But just simply gave him a bath. Trimmed his toenails, trimmed his fingernails. All the things that he had not had. You know, is that a us? Say, you know, if only I could find a job where there are people that I could provide services to and for. Well, I truly hope that when I get to be that age, or I may reach a state someday where I need those services performed, I truly hope that at some point there will be a servant there who is ready, willing, and able to provide that for me. But we live in a society where we're self-centered, where we think about our rights, and where we think about what others can do for us. And so that's why this idea of being a servant is somewhat adverse to us and may have a negative connotation. This morning I want to get us to thinking about the fact that it's imperative for us as Christians, and it's very important for us living in this country, in this community, that we recognize that as God's people, we ought to and we must become servants of God and servants of one another. So this morning I want to talk about the Christian, a servant. We want to talk first of all about the character of a servant. Because I would submit to you that this is the evident starting place. Unless we develop the character of a servant, we're never going to be successful as a servant. I'm aware of the fact we're starting a little bit late this morning. People watch clocks. I won't do like it at one time. I was preaching years ago, and a fellow sitting right where Joe Collier's sitting, I was on my third point, and I said, well, it's a quarter till 12, and we got plenty of time. He sort of raised his voice and said, no, Jerry, it's quarter after 12. So we're not going to do that this morning. But I want to talk about, first of all, the fact that we need to develop the character of a servant. How better than talk about Jesus? Ralph did a good job of that this morning. But the first character of a servant is that he's one that is, a servant is going to empty himself. In essence, we have to empty ourselves of ourself before we can have the character of a servant. Jesus, as a servant, was ready to do the great task. The greatest task was, as he said in John 12, verse 32, and I, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Jesus was willing to serve us as going to the cross and become the Savior for mankind. He became our servant. At the same time, we have recorded for us in John chapter 13, the occasion where Jesus was with his apostles. And he began to take off his outer garment, and he got water, and he got what we would call a towel, and he began to kneel down and to wash their feet. Now, I would suggest that Peter had the attitude of most of us, that Peter, not my feet. He said, Jesus, not my feet. You're not going to wash mine. See, Peter thought washing feet was too menial of a task for Jesus to do. And yet, when he got all done, remember Jesus said, now, do you understand what I've done? Go back and read John 13 sometime. But Jesus said, now, do you understand what I've done? He was teaching them about preparing themselves to be servants. And he says, now, if the master is willing and able to be a servant, should you not be ready and able to serve one another? See, what a great lesson Jesus taught his apostles and what he teaches us today. See, Jesus had emptied himself. He had emptied himself for he could perform that service, the menial service of washing the feet of the apostles. Turn with me for a moment to Philippians chapter 2. We want to read a passage that we're familiar with, but had a great bearing on what we're talking about. Philippians chapter 2, this passage talks about Christ. It says in verse 5, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who existing in the form of God, counted not the being on equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. There's a beginning place for us. We must be as Jesus, and we must empty ourselves before we're able to take on the form of a servant. So this morning I suggest to you that indeed is our beginning place. We empty ourselves, become a servant. When Jesus was at the well of Sychar, and the disciples said, why has anybody given him anything to eat? He wasn't concerned about himself. He was concerned about servants. Well, he says, my meal, he said, my meat is to do the will of my Father who sent me. See, he had emptied himself, was not even concerned about his own physical well-being. He was concerned about serving those about him by teaching them the precepts of the gospel of Christ. And that's a big step for us. Our first challenge is to empty ourselves. Matthew 16, verse 24, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. The second step is that we esteem others higher than ourselves. Now, these are in order. Until we reach a point where we can empty ourselves of ourselves, we're never going to be able to esteem another higher than ourselves. In the very same passage, Philippians chapter 2, note what Paul said just prior to the passage we read. He said, make full my joy that you be of the same mind, having the same love, being of one accord of one mind, doing nothing through faction or through vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, each counting other better than himself, not looking each of you to his own things, but each of you also to the things of others. To be a servant, we must esteem others better than ourselves. Now, that's a challenge. If we are honest with ourselves, I think we recognize that we have enough pride and we have enough ego where oftentimes we compare ourselves to others and we convince ourselves that we're a little bit better That's not the character of a servant. The character of a servant is one who truly esteems others higher than himself. It's one who has emptied himself and one who is preparing himself to be a servant. Esther certainly had that attitude. When it finally came the time that she had to decide, she said, well, I'll go to the king, and if I perish, I perish. See, she esteemed others higher than herself. I may have help in the back there. Just bring on down the next point, Jane. All right? The next character servant want to notice is that one is humble. Back to the previous slide. It's one that is humble. It takes humility to be a servant because you've got to humble yourself. We find when Jesus knelt down on the floor and began to wash the feet of his apostles, that required humility. For us to be servants, we have to reach a point in our life where we become humble. I don't believe it's something we're born with. God does not create little children running around, for the most part, who are humble. And those people that I've met in my life that are humble, I've admired. But you know, I've not met many people in my life who I would truly say that this person is a very humble person. I might mention one that many of you know well. Some don't. Used to sit right here, Miss Lucy Glass. Now, if I think of somebody who was humble, Miss Glass was somebody I would characterize as being humble. She was able to be a servant. Her neighbor across the street was baptized into Christ because Miss Glass was a servant. Again, where is Christ? Jesus said in Philippians 2, verse 8, he humbled himself, becoming what? Becoming a servant. Humility is not something that comes easy to most people, but if we're going to serve God successfully and if we're going to serve one another successfully, we have to become a servant. We have to become, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 5, that I become all things to all men. Paul did that in humility. James, next point. I'll let James run that. He's better than I am. Servant must be obedient. It said of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience in all things. And even a passage in Philippians chapter 2, he humbled himself to the point of death, yea, the death on the cross. To be a servant of God, we must be obedient. And if we're going to be an obedient servant, it means that we have had to learn to humble ourselves because we have to have humility before we're going to be obedient. Some of us have difficulty having somebody telling us what to do. If I'm honest myself, one reason through the recent 20 years that I was in management is because I really prefer to tell somebody what to do as opposed to have somebody telling me what to do. But that's not the right trait to have. The trait we ought to have is that we are willing to and humble ourselves to where we are ready to serve and where we can be obedient to our Father. So as we look into the Scriptures and look at the example of Christ, and we can look at examples of many others, we see what it is to obtain the character of a servant. Now this morning as we sit together, unless you and I at this point in time are resolved, and we've said, yes, I want to be a servant, and yes, I'm going to acquire a character of servant, then we may as well stop. What I'm going to say next has no importance yet for someone who has not decided that I'm going to develop the character of a servant. Because we will never take the next step. It's so important that we look at the life of Christ and we look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we look at Daniel, and we look at Esther, and we look at David, and we look at the Apostle Paul, and we see the examples of those who adorn themselves with the character of a servant. That's what we must do, first and foremost. All right, Jane. A servant is compassionate. But now let's look on and notice something about service as we sort of call time out for a second and recognize that there are two qualities of service. Now, the first of these qualities of service It's simply that to be a servant means that we're asking nothing in return. All of us are aware that sometimes we do things because we expect something in return. It's pretty common in our society probably for someone to have a neighbor or a relative who gets up in age and who may have some money, and all of a sudden the friends and relatives become very attentive. They're over there doing things all the time, but they have a motive. They're looking for the period of time when a person finally dies and they're left something in the will. That's not true service. That's performing a service, but yet it's performing it expecting something in return. If we have truly developed the heart of a servant, we are going to be ready and willing to serve, asking nothing in return. And the second quality of service is that it's done charitably and not grudging. I've developed the heart of a servant. I don't serve because I have to. I don't go visit a brother in the hospital because I have to. I don't prepare a meal because I have to. I don't go to the hospital and sit with a friend or a family or a brother in Christ because I have to. It's not done grudgingly. If I've truly developed that character of a servant, it's done out of love. It's done out of charity. It's done with a sacrificial attitude. So now we're beginning to see why it's so important to truly develop the character of a servant. Let me suggest that servants are needed today. I don't know of a period of time when they have never been needed, but we're certainly needing servants today. We need servants, first of all, in the home. I was raised in a family of 7 children. Having raised my own 2 sons now, I look back and as a young person like many of you sitting here in the front and other places this morning, I think, what a service I could have been. Now, those of you who know me well will have a hard time believing this, but my mother has told me and still tells me and others that I was the instigator of trouble when I was growing up. I know it's hard to believe. But I look back, and there were times when I did that. I did stir things up a little bit. But the truth is, I look back, as I got older, I said, you know, I could have been of great service to my mother. I had 3 younger brothers and sisters. Many times I spent my days selfishly. I did what I wanted to do. I went about doing what I wanted to do, what was best for me. Young people in your homes, you can be a servant. You can serve your mother and serve your father. You don't have to wait to be asked to do something or told to do something. Develop his character of servant. Now, this is something this morning I'm talking about. It's meaningful to me because I was older in life before I even really started to think about, well, Jerry, who are you? Have you really began to develop his character of a servant? I would say I'm talking to a lot of men this morning that have struggled with this as I have. In your family, who is it that makes sure the birthday card go out to relatives? Were it not my wife, down through years, most relatives would not even know that I knew they had a birthday. Who is it oftentimes is one that's busy on the phone, busy making the phone calls, checking other people? Oftentimes our wives. And I would say that sometimes we as men, we struggle a little bit with becoming a servant. It may be a little bit uncomfortable time to becoming a servant. But God expects us to be servants. So young people in the home, begin right now to develop your character as a servant. Look at the life of Christ, at His example, and resolve that you're going to be a servant. We need servants in the home. We need wives that are servants of their husbands, husbands that are servants of their wives. In every home relationship, we need servants. We need servants in the church. Now, this morning, I thought about the fact that Ralph, even though he's not the eldest here by any means, he was serving us this morning. At the same time, we had Michael, a young man, leading singing. We have servants needed in all aspects in the church. In our study on Sunday morning, back in the young people's class, 4 of the young men are taking part. In fact, more will take part in presenting one of the lessons. And we're having young men that are spending time preparing these studies. Josh Cook. Kevin, this is dangerous. I might leave somebody out. But Josh Cook had a lesson. Kevin Fielder had a lesson. Jeff Archer had a lesson. Jonathan Reeder is going to have a lesson. Here are young men. What are they doing? They're preparing themselves as servants. And you know, in the beginning stages, you may not be comfortable being a servant in that aspect, but you're growing and you're preparing ourselves. And in the church, we need servants. The church at Eastside has had servants down through the years. I remember a number of years ago, Sister Jenny Gray, Ralph's mother, she was talking to Betty and I one day, and she said, "Well, I've got to go." She said some ladies out at the nursing home like turnip greens, and she had made some turnip greens. And what she said was, now she was 77 or so at the time, she said, "I've got to take some turnip greens to the older people, or to the old people out at nursing home." Now, you know, that impressed us. She was a servant. She was busy serving other people. During the time I was preaching here, I was in the study back here one morning about 11 o'clock. Betty was in Illinois. And the phone rang. It was Ott McKay, who many of you know well. And she said, "Jerry," said, "I've got fried chicken, biscuits, potatoes, gravy, and a coconut pie." I said, "Do you have time to come eat lunch?" See, what she did, she thought about me. And you know what means a lot to somebody? Just know that somebody actually thought about me. And that's what the heart of a servant is. See, these people have developed a character of a servant to where they've decided that when the opportunity comes, I'm going to be ready to serve. In the church, we need servants. We need servants in the community. Galatians 6, verse 10. "Therefore, if you have opportunity, do good unto all men." I think at times we do a pretty good job in the church, but sometimes we may not look outside of the church and become servants in the community. When there are needs in this town, we as God's people ought to be at the forefront providing that service. See, there are opportunities all around us. And I would suggest to you that opportunities will come. Last slide there, James. We're familiar in Luke chapter 10, the story of what we call the Good Samaritan. And let that sort of represent us in our lifetime right now. Here is an opportunity to be a servant. Here is a friend, a neighbor, a brother, who is in need. Now, there are going to be some here in this audience this morning who will serve. I know you will, because in the years I've known you, I know that's your nature and your character. You've become a servant. But as these opportunities come, am I going to be the priest or Levite that sees the opportunity but just walks by and neglects my responsibility? Unless I've truly developed the heart and character of a servant, I'm pretty apt to do that. Most likely, unless I develop that character, somebody may be in need, I may be aware of it, but I'm going to pass on by and not fulfill my responsibility if I'm not truly preparing myself to be a servant. Because a servant has two qualities they possess. One is they're ready, and one is they're willing. Now, when these opportunities come, how will I respond? In this lifetime, that question is put to me. How will I, when I leave the building this morning, as these opportunities come to serve, how will I respond? Well, now turn with me as we close our study. Because I want to take time to read here in Matthew chapter 25. I want us to be impressed as we end our study this morning that there will be a test. I was never one to be afraid of tests in school. Some people have. There's a phobia. It's not testophobia, but it's a phobia of test. But you know, here's one that frightens me. Because I look at my life, and I see so many opportunities to serve that I've just let go. Here we are, This life is over. Opportunity to serve, they have come and they have gone. Now we're standing before God in judgment. Beginning to read with me in verse 34. The king shall say unto them with his right hand, Come, you blessed my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and he gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and he gave me to drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, and fed thee, or athirst, and gave thee drink? And when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? And when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, Yet as much as ye did it unto one of these, my brethren, even the least, ye did it unto me. Here's the hard part. Then shall I say to those on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into the eternal fire which prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye did not give me to eat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. I was naked, you clothed me not. Sick, you visited me not. How indicting that is. In prison, you visited me not. Then shall they say also, Andrew, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungry, or thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of these least, ye did it not unto me. What a sobering passage. What a sobering passage. See, it's important in this life that we be servants. The only thing I want us to do this morning is to think about the importance of being a servant. If you look at your heart this morning and you say, you know, I truly have not developed a character of a servant. We'll leave this morning with that resolve, but I'm going to work on that. And I'm going to work to develop the character of a servant, even as Christ. And secondly, as a servant, as opportunities come and go, let us be ready and willing to perform that service. Because one day we'll face God in judgment. If you're here this morning and not a faithful child of God, why not this morning resolve to put Him first in your life, become a child of God, or you've done that, and have fallen away, why not this morning make that recommitment to God as we stand, as we sing.